We are people that forget. We have to be reminded over and over and over and over again. I'm reminded of the words that the Apostle Peter made mentioned there in the first chapter of the book of 2 Peter. When he said there, he said, "I would not be negligent to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And he said there in that portion of Scripture also, he says, "Even though you are established in the present truth, that you know it." And so we find that we as preachers, of course, a lot of times we think we have to have something new, have to have something different for the people. But you have to repeat over and over again many times the same truths of God's Word that the people of God don't get forgetful of it. And many times we do forget. And that's one of the things that the Lord warned the children of Israel is. He said, when you get in that land and you eat of that crop that you didn't plan, and you live in those houses you didn't build, and you drink of those wells that you didn't dig, he says, beware lest you forget the Lord. And sometimes that is the way it is. Sometimes we think that the only time of great testing is when there's a adversity or something comes upon us, but it's a time of prosperity also is a time of great testing.
Amen.
And so we need to realize that. Well, we are going to preach a companion message to what we preached on last night. And so we'd have you to turn your Bibles to the book of Mark in the 4th chapter of that book. Mark, the 4th chapter. The multitude had been gathered together, of course, and on the Sea of Galilee and the shore, and we find that Jesus Christ has taken into a ship and has cast out a little bit from the shore, and the multitudes were on the shore of the sea, and he starts to teach them. And he teaches them in parables. And we find one of the parables, of course, which Jesus Christ taught, is recorded for us here in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and verse 26. We want to just read down through verse 29. This is the parable. It's a short parable. It says in verse 26 now, the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." The Lord Jesus Christ many times used a lot of things in nature to bring across spiritual truths. And we all know, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, the great truths that he had concerning the fact that there's no sense in you worrying. Don't be overly concerned about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and so forth. And then, of course, he looks to the animals which he had created, and he says, listen, he says, the birds don't sow. He said, they don't reap, but God feedeth them. He said, you're much more important than what they are. And then he says, look at the lilies of the valley. He says, they're clothed. He says, and Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And yet they're thrown in the furnace and they die and so forth, but you're more precious than they. And then he brings it down to the very fact that he says, listen, this world is seeking after the things which are necessary for life. They're wholly engaged in that very thing. But he said unto his people, he said, listen, you put me first in your life, and you won't have to worry about these things. I'll give you clothing to wear. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to work, but he says, I'll open up the way that you can have it. Then you'll have it. You'll have all that you need. And so we find that's one of the things that the Lord taught. You know, everything that God created, he created in wisdom. Not only was God wise in what he did, but he also created things with a measure of wisdom within themselves. And you find in the book of Proverbs, you look there and he says, listen, there are four things that are very small upon this earth, but very wise. And then he talks about the ant. And he talks about the locust. And he talks about the cooney and the spider. Very small things. And yet he says, these have great wisdom. You know, sometimes we need to just stop and smell the roses. Sometimes we're so busy in the day in which we live that we don't look at the surroundings and the great creation that God has created around us and just study it and look at it and consider the wisdom, not only that was in bringing it into existence, but the wisdom that God gave unto certain things that we might learn from them. And Jesus Christ, of course, always used many times these things of nature in order to bring forth things which are spiritual truths, which we need. We find in the preceding part of this fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we find here that the Lord gave the parable of the sower. And we find, of course, that it tells us in this portion of Scripture about the sower went forth and he sowed seed, and we know all the different grounds that it fell on. It fell on the pathway, it fell in thorny grounds, it fell on stony grounds, and then some of it fell on good ground. And we find, of course, that the Lord was teaching us here that the kingdom of heaven, that not everybody that professes salvation is in the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody does. The gospel, when it's preached, sometimes it'll fall on deaf ears, and doesn't seem like it has any effect whatsoever. And then there are others, of course, that the Bible says they receive the word with joy, or anan with joy, in other words, immediately. But then you find that either the cares of this world or the tribulation because of the word of God, they fall away and so forth. I believe all those individuals are lost. I don't believe that they ever had salvation. Because one of the things the Bible teaches is about those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we will endure to the end, no matter what confronts us in this old world, because we have the grace of God in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we find that Jesus Christ definitely, he says, the sower went forth to sow. And he says that seed fell in various grounds and so forth. And then in the parable that we says here in this portion of Scripture, he brings before us some just basic truths concerning sowing and reaping. And that's what we just want to preach on. We're not going to be deep. We're just going to be simple in our thoughts this morning. And hopefully, of course, that each and every one of us that were challenged by the message that we preached last night will see and understand and realize that we do have a great work. We have a great work, and that work is to sow the seed of the truth of God's Word, to sow the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just three things that I want to bring before you. The first of them is this. It tells us there in verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. There's something here that the Bible says we must do. If we're going to have a harvest, and you know that. You live in a farming community here. You drive down the road, you see fields of wheat, you see corn, you see soybeans, you see all manner of crops and so forth. And definitely we know that you're not going to have a harvest if you don't sow something. You're not going to have a harvest if you don't sow. I mean, that's just a basic truth, isn't it? It's not only a truth of nature, but it's also a truth spiritually speaking. And we find in this portion of Scripture definitely that's our responsibility is to do what? Is to preach the Word. You know, if you look into nature, nature has various ways that God has determined that seed ought to be sown or is cast about. I can remember as a child going through some fields and so forth and come back home and my pants would be just full of stick tights. Have you ever had that? And they're a terrible thing to try to get out. But I mean, that's one way that God has ordained that, you know, that seed should be scattered abroad and sown. And sometimes, of course, you understand and realize that there are other means too. You look at a dandelion with all of its fluff after it has matured, and what happens? The wind blows and poof, off it goes. Or a cottonwood tree. Sometimes in the summertime, you see a cottonwood tree, what? Just seems like the air is just filled with little, you know, cotton balls and so forth. Well, that's nothing but the wind taking the seed and distribute it and so forth. And I can remember the persimmon tree. You know, persimmons are good when they're eaten, when they're ripe. Not when they're green. But you find when they're ripe, you know, they are delicious. And all kinds of animals just love to eat them, especially deer. Deer love to eat persimmons. And what happens with that persimmon seed? Well, it gets into the digestive tract of the deer, but it does not digest. And we find it's cast forth and it's dropped. And so find the seed then is what? Sowed in that manner. That's also. And of course, there are other things. We know that the acorns have are produced by oak trees, but what distributes the seed of the acorn? Well, it's an animal. It's the squirrel. He gathers acorns in the fall of the year, and he buries them, doesn't he, someplace. And he doesn't always dig them all up, you know, eat them in the wintertime. And they bring up, what, trees, and they scatter about by that way. But God has ordained a way in which the gospel is to be propagated and preached. Amen. It's by us. Amen. Those of us that are saved by the grace of God and know of the salvation of the Lord. It is that way that God has been pleased to cause the gospel to be propagated. In fact, go over into the book of 1 Corinthians in the first chapter of that book. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just trying to stir you up again by way of remembrance. But in the book of 1 Corinthians, in that first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us down here. In verse 18 it says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It doesn't say that we are to be foolish preachers. It just says that the world looks at us as being fools, because they say the gospel is foolish. And anybody that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world is a fool. And so we find it is through the preaching of the word of God, though, that the gospel goes forth. We are to preach the word of God. We're not to hold it to ourselves. Remember one time Jesus Christ says, whatever you hear in secret, you broadcast from the housetops. In other words, we're not to hold the truth to ourselves. The gospel that has been preached unto us is the gospel that we need to continue to preach unto others. But we have received, like Paul said, he says, I received the gospel. He says, that which I have also preached unto you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find that God has entrusted this to us. It is our responsibility. An angel's not going to preach the gospel. But men are to preach the gospel. Amen. These bodies of clay, these feeble lips of that stumble and stutter and just can't speak correctly. God still uses that to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I can't tell people about the Lord. I'm not eloquent. You know, sometimes we're just like old Moses of old, you know. We make our excuses why we can't do this and that. I'm just not learned enough. I don't know enough of the truth of God's word. Well, one of the things you need to do is grow and find out what the word of God says, that you might be able to tell folks with a certain amount of knowledge and understanding what the word of God says. But you don't have to tell much about except what the Lord's done for you in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a called preacher. Just tell the folks what the Lord's done for you. But God has ordained that to be the very way. And of course, we understand and realize that the churches of Jesus Christ have a very definite connection or commandment from the Lord to do that, don't we? Amen. Remember, before the Lord left, he gave the church a commission. And the commission is go. Disciple all nations. You know, You know, some people say this is the commission that the Lord gave. The Lord had a commission before this. If you look in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, you find that when he sent the 12 forward, he gave them a commission. He says, you go and preach, and you preach only to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't you go into the Samaritans. Don't go to Gentiles. You just preach to Jews. That was a limited commission that Jesus Christ gave. But after that, before he ascended back into heaven, we find, of course, the Bible says he gave a commission unto his church and he said, you go into all the world now. He didn't give a new commission. He just broadened the commission unto the church. It's to go into the whole world and preach the gospel now. But he has given us the responsibility and the privilege to do it. And the Bible tells us that the scripture says that this is the way that God has ordained. God has ordained it. Look in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of, in the book of Romans, that 10th chapter. Again, familiar scripture. But notice what it tells us down here in the 13th verse of that 10th chapter of the book of Romans. It says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how true that is. But notice the rest of it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without somebody proclaiming it unto them. No souls will be saved if the gospel is not proclaimed unto them. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. They must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our privilege to do it. That's our privilege to do it. And the Bible tells us that we are what? We're laborers together with God in this endeavor. If you look over in the book of 1 Corinthians again, in the third chapter of that book, it tells us in this portion of Scripture that, listen, the preacher's nothing. All we are instruments of God to proclaim the truth, but it's a privilege to do it. But he says there in verse 5 of that third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, who then is Paul or who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as God gave unto every man? I want to stop there for a second and just chase a rabbit for a minute. Listen. It was by no accident that whoever preached the gospel to you, that he preached it to you. God has given unto every one of his elect a man to bring the gospel to them. But they do bring the gospel to him. And then notice what he says. In verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And then he goes on and tells us in this portion of Scripture in verse 9, he says, for we are laborers together with God. You think upon that for a moment. God. The Almighty God. The Eternal God. The Everlasting God. The One who inhabits eternity. The only immortal being. The One who is so high above us that we cannot even hardly fathom the least of the glories that He is. He's taken us into partnership with Him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. It's a great privilege, but it is ours. And we find, of course, that the very seed itself is a good seed. You know, farmers, when they plant, they always buy seed and they look at the germination percentage on it. You don't want to buy a seed that's only got a small percentage of germination. In other words, it's not going to, you know, bring forth anything. So they look for a seed that's got great germination process. Well, we understand and realize that some seeds that's sown are bad seeds and therefore they don't produce anything. But one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is always a perfect seed. Amen. But it doesn't always germinate, does it? Where we would like it to germinate. let's put it that way. And you know, one thing that we need to understand and realize is this, that certain seeds do need certain conditions in order for them to grow. But you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ can be sown in any situation and circumstance of life. We don't need that. It's not a fair weather seed. But here's the thing that we need to understand also, that sometimes we pick and choose where we're going to sow. Don't we? There looks like a fit candidate. You know? It's generally somebody that's, you know, in our social realm and, you know, not too high above us or not too much below us. But sometimes we have a tendency to want to pick where we sow the seed. But we're not to do that. And that's what the parable of the sower brings before us. The sower went forth to sow, and he was what? Indiscriminate in his sowing. He just sowed the seed. Some fell on the pathway. Some fell in stony ground. Some fell in what? Thistles and weeds and so forth. And some fell on good ground. That's not our responsibility to pick out what? Who we're going to sow the seed to. It's not my responsibility to judge whether or not this individual is a good recipient for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we cannot judge the heart of a man. We don't know it. And that's why Jesus Christ said, you sow the seed and you preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Every creature. Sometimes we're a little bit afraid to maybe go down the skid row. Or maybe even to speak to somebody that's in great power or authority over us. But listen, we're to sow it indiscriminately, no matter. And no matter what the season is, we're to sow it. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a statement that is made here concerning sowing. The book of Ecclesiastes. And if you'll notice there in the 11th chapter of the book, of Ecclesiastes. He says here in verse 6 of that chapter, he says this, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Just sow it. Just tell them, no matter where you are, no matter what. And don't be afraid to go down into Skid Row. Some of the greatest saints have been saved by the grace of God. I can remember a harlot that was saved. God's able to do it. God's able to do it. But it's our responsibility. This is the whole thing. There was a man that went forth and sowed the seed. If the seed is if the seed is not sown, it will not bring forth fruit. It will not bring forth fruit. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 6 of that portion of Scripture says this. I know that this hasn't got relationship to the preaching of the gospel. Paul is trying to encourage the church at Corinth to be liberal in their giving. In the relief of the saints there in Jerusalem and so forth. But the statement is made here, which is a general principle of sowing and reaping. And it's this. Notice there in that portion of Scripture in the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians and in verse 8 of that chapter. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you want a bountiful harvest, just sow it bountifully. If you want a very sparse harvest than just sow sparingly. So there's a principle there too, isn't there?
Amen.
Bountifully sow the Word of God. Wherever you are, do it without discrimination, without judging people. And you'll find that you'll bring in a harvest. But the thing needs to be what? It needs to be preached. You need to sow. And I think that's what's lacking in a lot of our churches today. What is the first thing in the commandment? Go.
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye. Disciple all nations. But where are we going? Or how are we going? Sometimes we think the churches of Jesus Christ are getting smaller and smaller. Well, we are in number. But I sometimes wonder if it's not because of the lack of sowing. The lack of sowing. Well, let's consider the second thought, which is very obvious also. In this portion of Scripture, in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we find here that Jesus Christ talks about this. He says this. The man has sown the seed. And then it says he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. There's some things you can't do. You can't make that seed grow. You haven't got the power. You haven't got the ability. God's the one that does that, isn't he? God's the one that does it. And so we find that this is exactly what we need to do. Only God can produce light and life. You know, if you look into the book of Genesis and the very creation itself, you know, that's a great spiritual lesson for us. If God did not say, let there be light, would there have been light in this world? We'd been all in darkness, wouldn't we? But God said, let there be light. And there was light. And light is necessary for what? Growth of a seed, isn't it? You know that to be true. You put a piece of corn in the ground, which way does it grow? Does it grow downward? No, it grows up. It's drawn to the light, isn't it?
Amen.
And light is necessary to what? To bring forth the fruit.
Right.
You find also that life is necessary. And the Word of God tells us that the Word of God itself is alive. It's the living Word. And the Gospel of Jesus Christ is a living doctrine.
Amen.
Because it's based in one who is alive, and that's Jesus Christ himself. But can you just imagine this whole world if there was just light, but God didn't say, let the earth bring forth after its kind?
Amen. Amen.
Only God can do that, isn't it?
Amen.
And if you look over into the gospel, you'll find there in the gospel, in the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter of that book. Listen to what we find here in this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians in the fourth chapter. And it says in verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We were all in darkness, weren't we? Ignorance. But God in his mercy and grace, he showed us the light of the gospel and shined it in our hearts. I tell you what, when the Lord did that to me, the first thing I did was shuddered. For the first time, I saw myself as I was. And you did too. That's what you call in the Bible conviction. Conviction. You didn't like what you saw. But you find also at the same time that God showed that light down there, we find also He had what? Quickened you unto life. He gave you life. You repented of your sins. You entrusted in Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ became dear and precious unto you. And the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ, you fell in love with.
Amen. Amen.
But God had to do what? God had to be the one that said, let there be light.
Amen.
God had to say, bring forth.
Amen.
It's in the power of God. It's not in us.
Right.
You know, that gives me a lot of comfort. I don't know if I mentioned this last night or not, but it gives me a lot of comfort to know that I'm not the one that has to save a soul. All I need to do is preach.
Amen.
Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. For adventure, God will give repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. It's up to Him. I've known some preachers that were Armenian in theology. And you know, they got discouraged. And they quit. Well, if they quit, first of all, they weren't called of God. Let's put it that way. But they quit preaching because they didn't think they were eloquent enough or persuasive enough to bring forth arguments enough in order to convert a soul to Christ. We don't have to do that. We ought to be sincere. We ought to try with all that's within us to show the sincerity of our hearts and the salvation of a soul. But come to the realization, my sincerity is not going to save them. My deep concern for them is not going to save them. Only God can save them.
Amen.
And I'm what? I can rest then, can I? I can rest. And definitely so. And we find, of course, that the Bible tells us, no matter what, you're still successful. As long as we're here in the book of 2 Corinthians, look over there, if you will, in the second chapter of that book. And listen to what it says here. Paul again speaking, he says in verse 14, he says, now thank be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. He says, I'm what? In this portion, he says, I'm triumphing in Christ no matter what happens. No matter what happens in my preaching the gospel, I've got triumph in Christ. And then notice what he says. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Motivation in preaching the gospel is an important thing. What's your main motivation in preaching the gospel?
Yeah.
To save souls. No. To glorify Christ.
Amen.
Let us remember that. To glorify Christ.
Amen.
Saving of souls is one of those, you might say, icing on the cake. But that's not the main reason to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is because He has said we ought to do it, but also in order to glorify and magnify Him as what? The Savior.
Amen.
And when we do that, we're triumphant. And the Bible says, whatever a man, whatever the result of your preaching is, that you're not a failure. That's paraphrasing it. You're not a failure. You're a sweet savor unto God. Whether that man is saved or whether that man is lost. And then it says down there in verse 16, it says, for one, we are a savor of death unto death. You know, when you preach the gospel, it's going to smell like death to some people. Sure it is. Mm-hmm. Devil will come and say, all that man wants to do is ruin your life. He's trying to get you to be religious so you can stop doing all of these things that you love to do. The gospel to some people, it smells like death. It reeks of death. And then it says, and to the other, a savior of life unto life. Some are going to smell and say, oh, that smells so good. I need it. I want it. I want the salvation. I'm thirsting after righteousness. I want to be free from this sin. I want to have my life mean something. And it smells like life. And they're the ones that's going to receive it with joy.
Amen.
And then it says, we are not of many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. You know, there's some people today that corrupt the word of God in the preaching. They deceive. High pressure salesmen, you know. These preachers that say, just beat you to death if you don't trust in the Lord. Some deceive you to think, well, all you have to do, you know, say this little prayer. And you'll be all right. Sign this little card, you know, which says that you believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be all right. But we don't use the word of God deceitfully. And Paul said, I do not corrupt the word of God. I don't do it deceitfully. But then listen, when you preach the word of God, you're what? When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're a sweet savor unto God. No matter what the result is. No matter what it is. Well, time is about gone. Let's look at this to encourage us also in this sowing. Look there in the Mark, the fourth chapter again, and consider what it says. There's some things we must do. We must sow the seed, or there'll be no harvest. Something we cannot do. We cannot make it grow and become fruitful. That's the work of God. But there's something that we can be encouraged in. That when there is a sowing, you can mark it down, there's going to be a reaping. There's going to be a reaping. And that's what he says here. In verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. A farmer, when he sows, does he expect a harvest immediately? No. It's not going to be immediate. Don't be discouraged. God's got His own time in saving souls. Time doesn't mean anything with God. We're so impatient so many times. We preach the gospel and we want to see immediate results. Oh, somebody believes. Somebody turns from their sins and trusts in Christ. But God's got His time. And His time is always the best time. But one thing for sure is this. We know this. That as the farmer waits patiently for the seed to grow and to mature, that he's going to have a harvest if he sows the seed. And so we are encouraged also in the Word of God that we will also have the harvest. We read over there in the 126th Psalm last night about the sower that went forth weeping with tears, speaking about the compassionate aspect of being concerned for the souls of men. But you know, it says in that same portion of Scripture, it says this. In verse 5 of that 126th Psalm, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
He that goeth forth weepeth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's an encouragement, isn't it?
Amen.
You sow the seed, God's going to bless it. He won't bless every sowing, but he will bless a harvest with a harvest. You shall. That's not maybe or hope so. You shall. You shall. You shall bring your sheaves. In other words, you will have a harvest. Look in the book of Isaiah. Look in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, and I don't know what you believe, but I believe Isaiah is the gospel of the Old Testament. It has more about Jesus Christ in it than many of the other prophets.
Amen.
Invitations and so forth given. But look there in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. This is old Nebuchadnezzar had just gone through this period. Not Nebuchadnezzar, excuse me. Got the wrong thought in my head. This is we find here concerning the call of the gospel. If a wicked man will turn from his way, he said, God will abundantly pardon him. Abundantly pardon him. And then he goes down here in verse 10 of this portion of Scripture. It says this, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it.
Amen.
You're preaching the word of God is going to bring forth some kind of fruit.
Yep.
Some kind of fruit. God said, my word will not return to me void. It won't. We're not, my friend, unprofitable in the service of God. We are profitable. But God makes it so. And whenever you preach the word of God, it will bring forth some kind of fruit. But God's the one that determines what it is. Either the salvation of a soul or God being magnified to the condemnation of a sinner. It will not return to him void. It will accomplish that for which he has sent it.
Amen.
And so each and every one of us is saved by the grace of God. Remember this, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Just keep waiting on the Lord. Just keep doing what the Lord tells you. And if you want to harvest, sow the seed. Because there will be no sowed seed, or no harvest without the sowing of the seed. Very, very basic truths concerning our service to God. But let us be true to the Word. Let us be true to our God. Those of us that are saved have a moral, as we said last night, a moral obligation. Those of us that are members of the Lord's church have a direct command from the Lord to go sow the seed. Go sow it. Wherever you are, sow it. You don't know whether or not it'll bring forth fruit or not. But you know this, whatever you do it, you will glorify your God. And that's the main purpose of our existence.
Amen.
Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, do it all to the glory of God. May the Lord bless.